Earlier this summer, I talked with Pastor Jeff about preaching because I thought that you would be encouraged in your faith by hearing from Daniel, a dear Nigerian friend who is like family to me. He had planned to be here today with us, to be up here with me, and I wanted to give him an opportunity to thank you all for praying for his family about 6 years ago. I don't know if any of you remember praying for little Chris. I hope that his story could offer you some hope and encouragement about God's faithfulness during both the good times and the bad times. So that when I found out that Daniel was not going to be here, I suggested to Marv that maybe somebody else would like to give the sermon. Well, you can guess what the answer was. I take that as a sign that God does want you to hear some of Daniel's story that he has given me permission to share with all of you. My prayer is that you hear about God's faithfulness in Daniel's story in a way that offers you hope for God's faithfulness in your own lives. You see, Daniel married his wife Rahila about 10 years ago in Nigeria. Their marriage started off typically, which in Nigeria means that you start having children right away. They were happy to announce their first pregnancy and, like many people, began to imagine a joyful life of a family of three. Things went well for the first two trimesters. Then, at about 5 weeks before her due date, Rahila was riding on a motorcycle taxi on bumpy roads in chaotic traffic. This is not unusual in Nigeria. The motorcycle crashed and threw Rahila to the ground. Shaking and bleeding, she was able to get to a doctor who performed an emergency C-section. They rejoiced that both mother and baby survived. The baby was a boy. Daniel and Rahila decided to name their first child after somebody they highly admired, Dr. Christian Asiche. Many of you have heard of or have met Dr. Chris, the Nigerian doctor who founded the Faith Alive Hospital in Jos, Nigeria. At the baby's Nigerian naming ceremony 7 days after birth, which is also customary there, Daniel and Rahila proudly announced their son's name, Christian. We know him as Little Chris. Little Chris's first 6 weeks went well, so Daniel and Rahila were not prepared for anything but the ordinary at their son's checkup. I'll let Daniel tell you about that in his own words as part of a video series that highlights people in the book that I wrote, Faith Alive, Stories of Hope and Healing from an African Doctor in the Hospital. Our own former member, Chris Harper, produced this video when he and I were in Nigeria a few years ago. Let's listen to Daniel.
My name is Daniel Michelia. I've been in Faith Alive since 2nd October 2007, up to date. He said, please, can you bend your ear to his chest? I said, okay, I bend. He said, did you hear anything? I said, yes, okay, come. He bring another child. I said, bend your ear to this child. I bent, and the sound of the heartbeat was quite different. My son one was like pouring water out of a hose. You hear it, but the other one was just like beating a drum, bam, bam. He now said, okay, your child is having heart problem. He has a hole in the heart. I broke down.
There's actually no center in Nigeria at the moment that can do such a complex heart surgery, especially in young children. So most of our children who are born with heart diseases still have to go out of the country for their corrective surgery.
This is somebody that you are the cause of him. And now a problem has been detected. You don't have any hope. You don't have any help. What can you do? And to God be the glory. God sent me somebody that I call her a godmother. And that's Erica.
Where am I going to find surgery for him? I'm not medical. Where am I going to find the money for him to go? And I really didn't know, but I got our church involved. We were all praying for little Chris. So my husband and I wrote letters to our friends and family just saying, here's the situation.
He needs surgery. We don't know if he's going to survive the surgery. We don't know, but we're all in. Will you come in with us?
And when you heard that your son is going to get the surgery, and I have not spent a penny, I couldn't sleep. I'm just seeing myself as if I'm in heaven, because this is a pure answer prayer. I am now back to life, and that is the truth. The story will not end.
That really strengthened my faith, by going from not knowing what on earth we were going to do to having this healthy boy who's growing and running and learning, and he's very smart.
He likes to play, he likes to interact with people just like his father. He's very, very, anxious, getting to know people, getting to play with them and being open. But most of it all, he likes reading, he likes anything that has to do with schooling, he likes sporting, and in sport he likes ball. I think that's what I can say about my son for now.
I show you this video not to highlight my part in little Chris's story, but to say how great God is, and to say thank you to many of you who played a part in little Chris's first surgery by praying and are donating. To be really honest, I distinctly remember a time when I asked God to take this responsibility away from me. I did not want the responsibility of trying to figure out how to keep little Chris alive. I had originally planned to just play a messenger role for another woman in the United States, but her life got hectic and she wasn't able to help anymore. So I went from saying that I'll do something about it to I'll do everything that I can. I am now very, very careful about when and if I ever say those words. I distinctly remember one day when I knew that nothing I could do could make this happen. We had pursued so many leads that had turned into dead ends. But it was precisely at that moment when I fully surrendered to God that he opened a door and showed us the option of surgery in India. When little Chris's surgery was successful, we were overjoyed and praised God. It is so easy to praise God and recite Psalm 100, which is our scripture for today. Let's say it together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This psalm is so fitting for the circumstance. It was easy to shout for joy, give thanks, and praise God when things were going well. It is good and it is right to do these things, to express our love and gratitude to God. So surely Psalm 100 was written when things were going really, really well. Yet the collection of psalms were written over many years, during both good and agonizing times. Imagine shouting for joy, giving thanks and praising God when you're banished and driven from your land and everything that's familiar. That's what happened to the Israelites during the exile. Other psalms seem much more fitting for that, cries of anguish and pleading with God. Yet Psalm 100 does not say praise God because of great circumstances. It says to praise God because he is good. He is God. He made us. He sees us as his own and as the sheep of his pasture. His love endures forever and his faithfulness continues through all generations. Have you ever tried to thank God and sing his praises when your circumstances were going terribly wrong? Maybe you're in that place right now, wondering if God really cares. Yet listen to the words of N.T. Wright, a well-respected theologian and author, who calls this a paradox. Praising God when your life, your circumstances, or the world's circumstances seem to be crumbling. N.T. Wright suggests that singing God's praises is one of the few things that actually helped keep the Israelites sane and gave them hope. They had to rise above their current circumstances and take a long view of God's faithfulness throughout the generations before, and also have faith in God's faithfulness for generations in the future. Let's go back to little Chris's family. One thing that I did not mention was that his mother, Rahila, got pregnant with her second child when we were still searching for where to have surgery for little Chris. In January 2010, Rahila found herself past her due date and in the midst of a national crisis. Everyone had to stay home for most of the day, for the curfew was at least from sundown to sunup. Rahila could not get to her appointed hospital for a C-section. When her labor finally came, swift and frantic, she had to deliver her second child naturally at a nearby hospital without modern equipment that we see in our hospitals here. The umbilical cord that had served as the baby's source of nourishment had created a deadly noose around the baby's neck. No attempts to revive the baby helped. Daniel had to bury their daughter before little Chris had a surgery. At that time, they did not even know if little Chris would have surgery or if it would be successful. Within a few months, Daniel and little Chris did leave for their surgery in India. Rahila thought at that time that she might be pregnant again, but she wanted to wait to be sure. As we know, little Chris's surgery not only happened, but was successful. A month later, her husband and her son returned to Nigeria, and little Chris proudly lifted up his shirt and showed his mommy his scar like a zipper up and down his chest. She waited, and then she asked him, "Christian, do you want a new brother or sister?" And he said, "Yes, or a puppy." Again, her pregnancy proceeded well. In the ninth month, Rahila took a jolting slip in her bathroom. She did not want to take any chances, so Daniel rushed Rahila to the hospital. They were so relieved to hear the baby's heartbeat. So she stayed in the hospital a few days just for observation and then returned home to monitor the baby's heartbeat on her own. But a few days later, Rahila felt no movement. She had to deliver the full-term baby and bury yet another infant daughter. Okay, have you had enough of these roller coaster emotions? Me too, even reliving this. But imagine how they felt. I'll just skip to the next part and let you know that a year later, little Chris welcomed a healthy new baby brother to his family. He wanted to name the baby Joseph, but his mother overrode that and calls him Jedediah. I had the privilege of being in Nigeria during Jedediah's baptism in 2013. Those two little boys, little Chris and Jedediah, are active and typical brothers. Jedediah recently turned 3 years old, and little Chris is not so little anymore. He's about to turn 10. That's the age that he would not have survived until if he had not gotten the surgery in India. If you all hadn't participated in that miracle. Daniel's family, like many of ours, have had its ups and downs. One lesson that I learned by them, by example, is to continue to praise God during both the good and the bad times. That does not take away all of our pain, but it does, like N.T. Wright says, keep us sane and give us hope. It reminds us to take the long view, God's eternal perspective. So we don't know the rest of the story. Little Chris will need another surgery in a few years. Will he get it? If so, will he survive it? This next surgery is supposed to be even riskier than his first. We don't know the result, but we do know what we can do now, then, and after. Continue to approach God's gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, giving thanks to him and praising his name. Daniel's joy, like ours, does not only come from good circumstances, but from a deep trust that God is good, he is faithful, and he is worthy to be praised. That is also true of our church. God's faithfulness has continued through the generations. I was thumbing through the history book of our church that dates back from 1872, and one of the chapter's titles reads, Good Times, Bad Times, The Church Survives. Do you want to take a guess at what year that might have been? It was in chapter 4, talking about 1926 to 1939. That's on page 29 of the book that is 118 pages long that doesn't even include the years after 1985. And there's still so much to be written in our church's story. I'd like to think that future chapters will read the paradox of good times and bad times. God is always worthy to be praised. Whatever you might be going through personally, a time of deep grief or a time of joyful celebration, remember God's eternal goodness. Because of that, we are called to continue praising God, if for no other reason than to keep us sane and give us hope.